Let's take our Bibles and go to Romans 16. We have been on a journey through the book of Romans for 40 messages now, and this, I believe, will be our 40th. Next week will be 41, and then we're going to move on to a different book. I'm not exactly sure. I've been praying and reading and thinking about it, and so we'll see where we go. But let's stand in honor of God's Word. I'm going to read a few verses here this morning. And I'm not going to do an exhaustive. I'm not going to read all of these names, let me put it that way, all right? I've listened to these names, and man, some of the Roman names are pretty difficult. Some of them are not too hard, but some of them they are. But I want to preach on this subject this morning: are you a help or are you a hindrance? Because Paul is going to speak, he's going to mention more people's names in the closing of the book of Romans than any other book that he wrote. And some of these have been great helpers to him. And then he's also going to preach about or speak about those who hinder the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had many helpers, but he also had his challenges along the way of those who made it difficult for the ministry. And so he begins to write, and I'm going to look at some of this, some of these names, and then look at some of them just as an overall, just look at it overall. He said to them, as he's closing out Romans chapter 16, he said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Now that word has the idea of a great helper. It's also mentioned, that word is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, that how Jesus saves and helps us who are one of his. Then he mentions Priscilla and Aquila in verse number 3. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. What a couple this was in the life of Paul. Now notice what he says about them in verse number 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now drop down to verse number 17. Verse number 17. And boy, he goes through all of these people. Some of them, he said, they labored in the Lord. Some of them, he said, they labored much in the Lord. He wants you to understand that these were people that he had a relationship with one way or another. And here's what's the most amazing thing about that is we have made mention as we've been preaching through the book of Romans, Paul had never even been there. But all of these people that he mentions, most of them were, some of them were Jews who had been thrown out of Rome. But now that the edict that had been laid aside, they could go back to Rome. Think about Aquila and Priscilla having to leave their home because they were Jews and found themselves in Corinth as a tent maker and met a guy named Paul who preached to them, and they got saved and they became great helpers of Paul. And now they're back in Rome. And even though Paul has not been to Rome, there's Aquila and Priscilla, and the church is meeting in their house. This is where the church is. What a great couple they were. But then verse number 17, we take a different turn after reading about the saints and the sisters and the helpers and all of this and Phoebe and others. But then he says in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now let me read that to you again. If you've been in Berean Baptist Church for any length of time, you have been preached the doctrines that are in the Word of God. Now somebody better say amen, or I'm going to get a little nervous here and have to go down and preach myself. So we understand what we believe and why we believe it, and even how we practice. All right? So especially the doctrines. Paul said, well, listen, if there are those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that ye have learned, avoid them. Does everybody see that? I tell you, God's people need to get a hold of this. There's some people you need to avoid. There's some people you need to stay away from who have gone contrary to the doctrine that ye have learned. You know why? Because they'll influence you. And then he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Better be careful. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Father, I pray that you would help in the word of God today as Paul is preaching about those that have been a help to his ministry. But Lord, there were those that have been a hindrance to his ministry. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to discern the one from the other. I pray, Lord, that we would see the example of people like Phoebe and also of Aquila and Priscilla. And then there is all kinds of people that he said were his beloved in the Lord, that they were helpers in the Lord. And then he also said there were some that were much, much help in the Lord. They had gone beyond and above the call of duty in the church there at Rome. And Lord, there's been many people that's been saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul as he has gone through the regions of the Gentiles, Corinth, and as he's even writing from different places. And Lord, now there's a church that's established in Rome. And Paul certainly has written to them about he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He speaks to them about the debt that is owed to the gospel, as we looked at that last week. And now, Lord, he begins to mention people by name. These are real people that had an influence or an impact or a help in his life. And then he doesn't really mention the names of those who are contrary. He does that to Timothy and Titus and such as that. But we see here he talks about those that have gone contrary to the doctrines that had been preached. And that his instruction as an apostle was to avoid them, stay away from them, don't let them influence. Lord, it boggles my mind. And I just have to pray this to you, Lord, that those that understand people have gone way away from the things of God, yet they would fellowship with them, or they would entertain them, or they would befriend them. And Lord, we need to understand that we need to make sure who our friends are. We need to make sure who we associate with. And I pray, God, as the apostle has given great instruction today, that we would take heed of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. If I was to ask you to name the last five NBA championships, I have no idea. But I do like sports, and so I'm a baseball fan, and I like baseball, and I like the Cardinals in particular. But I like baseball. I can sit down. I know there's some people that can only watch the Cardinals. If the Cardinals ain't on, and it's the Indians, the Guardians and the Braves playing, I can sit down and watch it. Doesn't matter to me. But I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you who the last five World Series champions are. I might be able to stretch my mind a little bit and give you the last couple. How about this one? Can you name the last five Heisman Trophy winners? Can you name the five wealthiest individuals living in the world today? Sometimes Elon Musk will pop up, and used to be Sam Walton would pop up, and the guy that owns Facebook or Amazon or who's the one. Sometimes their names will pop up, but I couldn't tell you who the five wealthiest people in the world are. Maybe one or two. Could you name for me the last five Nobel Peace Prize recipients? Now, to me, that's a joke anyway. Everybody with me so far? However, if I was to ask you to name five people in your life that has impacted you, you could do that just like that. In fact, you might be able to name more than five, because you could begin to say that this person had an impact on my life, or this person influenced my life in a right way. And that I could do. And in fact, I do that on occasion when somebody asks me about something. And the point that I'm trying to make, and what Paul is going to preach to us or teach to us in chapter 16, is this. You don't have to have money to have impact on somebody's life. You don't have to have power and success in some area that people may think about to have an impact on somebody else's life. And in this closing letter, as Paul is writing his final words to the church at Rome, he begins to mention specific individuals living in Rome who in one way or another have had an impact on his life. And he wants to make sure that he mentions those people as he writes this letter. And what a great thought process or a central thought or idea that is for us, that we also have people who have impacted our life. People that have made a difference in our life. Now on the other side of that coin in verse 17, when he talks about divisions and people that are gone contrary to the doctrines of the Word of God, there were also people that hurt the Apostle Paul. There was people that left Paul for the world, like Demas or Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much wrong. Now, I want you to understand that Paul spent a lot more time preaching and teaching and admonishing those who helped him more than he did those who hurt him. Or I will use the word hinder. Because the truth is, if you sit in a church and you're a part of a New Testament Baptist church, the truth is you're either a hindrance in many ways or you are a help. And I'm telling you, it's a sad state of affairs if you stand before God and say, you didn't help the church, you hindered the church. You did not help the man of God, you hurt the man of God. You did not help the church of the living God that I died for, but you were a nuisance in some way. I mean, I don't even know what words we might use. But I'm telling you, when Paul preached and he began to write about these people, these church members, they had a serious impact on Paul's life. Paul had people who helped him along the way, and Paul had people who hindered him along the way. And I don't think that we should skip through passages of the Word of God like this, but rather take it as an opportunity to be thankful for those who've encouraged us in the ministry, those who have been a help in our Christian life, and those that have been an influence for the right way. I think we need to make sure that we begin to think about those people in our life, people that have been saved by the grace of God. And I think of myself, I mean, if I could be very transparent and talk about 34 years of being a pastor and watching people grow and watching people get saved and then watching people get baptized and then begin to grow in the knowledge of God and begin to solidify and become pillars in the church. What a blessing that is. Not only in this church, but in the church that I pastored in Knobnostor, Missouri. And I look back and I can say, there are still people in the church in Knobnostor that are still being faithful as they were 25 or 30 years ago when I was there, still working in the church, still leading the singing, and still being a treasure, and still being a help and an influence. But I could also, on the other side, begin to talk about people who walked away from the things of God, who once stood for the doctrines of the Bible and all of the things that go with the Word of God and gone in a different direction. And those things, those can be a hindrance, but I don't want to focus on that. Because Paul didn't focus on it, even though he said very succinctly about those that have gone away. Now the letter to the Romans, this is amazing. As I mentioned earlier, I've already said it, but it's in my notes and I want to re-say it, that the personal greetings that Paul used in the Romans 16, it is the longest list of any epistle that he wrote, any book that he wrote. There are more people that he mentions here in Romans 16 than any other epistle. Now, the reason why there is such a lengthy list compared to the others is because there were people that were living in Rome now, were a part of the church in Rome, and he had met along the way in his missionary journeys. Now, by the time you come to this, Paul has gone on the journeys, and he's been all over the place, and people have been saved, and people have been changed by the grace of God. And now there are many of them living in Rome. Many of them, as I mentioned earlier, left Rome when Caesar Claudius ordered all the Jews to depart from Rome. That's found in Acts 18. And as a result, they left, they heard the gospel in various parts of the Roman Empire, and now that the ban against the Jews had been lifted, many of them returned to their own home country, or back to Rome. I can't imagine that. Can you imagine losing your home? Can you imagine? Listen, the best that I can do is go to the Holocaust Museum that I did in Israel. And I know there's one in Washington, D.C., and I plan on taking a trip there, Lord willing, one day. Would like to go to the Holocaust Museum, but I've been to the one in Israel. And I was so disappointed that we only had like 3 or 4 hours in there. I said, like, I need 8 or 9 hours in there. I need 2 days in here. But one of the things that I did personally, because it was so big, I went into these rooms and I sat down and you hit a button and up pops a screen and there's people that start talking about their experiences when they lived in Czech Republic, they lived in Poland or whatever. And every one of them basically, overall said the same thing. We did not think it could happen to us. You see, we thought that was over there somewhere, that was going over somebody else. But eventually, the German Empire made its way into these places and they lost everything. Many of them, 6 million people died as a result of the wickedness of Adolf Hitler. But you know what? Those 6 million people, those are real people who had real jobs, who lived in real communities, and they were taken away. That's the same thing that happened in the Roman Empire. All of a sudden one day, just like the wicked king who married Esther, listened enough to Haman to be able to set an edict that all the people that were Jewish people were going to die on a certain day. You have Claudius, who was an emperor in Rome, said, if you're a Jew, you can't live in Rome. And they were banned, and they lost their homes and lost their businesses. And many of them had to flee. But now they're able to go back. Well, praise God. You know, there's nothing by accident. Because people like Aquila and Priscilla, they go down to Corinth. And this is all spoken about, of course, in the book of Acts. And so they go down to Corinth, and you know what they were tent makers. And so they had to make their way, and so they start making tents, and they run into another guy who was making tents and trying to make a living, except he was doing something else besides that. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was telling people that the Messiah had come, that there was a way that they could have their sins forgiven, that they could be saved by God's grace, that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation. There is not 100 ways. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And he preached to them, and he taught them. And you know what? They got saved. And they became one of the greatest helpers that Paul ever had. This last chapter is about the blessings of those who have been helpers of Paul in the ministry. How he gives a warning to those who hindered the ministry. That is what we all need to be reminded of, that the ministry of Jesus Christ belongs to Jesus Christ. It's his ministry. It's his church. It's his gospel. It's his salvation. And just like the church there in Rome, they were the Lord's church. And we need to be reminded that the church of Jesus Christ belongs to him. He's the head of the church. So Paul is going to describe two types of people that he dealt with in the ministry. Those that were his helpers and those who hindered the ministry. Now first of all, let's look at those who helped him. The word helper means one that aids, one that helps, one that assists, one that furnishes or administers a remedy for someone else, like assistant pastor. All right? So let me just get this off my chest, if you don't mind. We do not have associate pastors at Berean Baptist Church. I'm not being ugly. We have assistants to the pastor. If you work on staff, I don't care what job you do, the basic thing is you're an assistant to help Pastor Abels in the ministry of Berean Baptist Church. I don't care if you're the youth pastor, youth director, if you are the maintenance guy, if you help in Sunday school. I need help. I cannot do it by myself. And the older I get, the more I realize I can't even do what I did 30 years ago. Amen, sister? That's my wife. We both come to that conclusion. You go back, I go back, listen, I go back in my 30s and 40s, and I'm telling you, I could burn the candle at both ends. I can't do that no more. I mean, I'd go to bed at midnight and get up at 5 or 6 o'clock. I can't do that anymore. Whew. But you know what? I can have helpers to help me. And you know what? If when you have helpers, whether they're deacons, and we got deacons that are helpers, we have staff that are helpers, we have church members that are helpers. Listen, it's not, we don't just have, listen to this. At Berea Baptist Church, we don't just have Timothy and Titus and Tychius and Philemon and Gaius. We have Aquila and Priscilla and Phoebe and all these other names. Aquila and Priscilla were not preachers. Aquila and Priscilla was a couple that assisted the Apostle Paul in many areas of his life. In fact, he said, man, they were loyal. How loyal were they? They were willing to lay down their own necks for me. And I'm telling you, and they are known in Rome. The church is in their house. They were known in Corinth. They were known. In fact, did you understand that when Paul left the church at Corinth, or he left that second missionary journey, eventually ended up in Ephesus, you know who went with him? Said, we want to be a helper to the next church that started, Aquila and Priscilla. I mean, they're awesome. They're some of the most awesome people. You know what they were? They were assistants to the pastor. I could say this, they were assistants to the Apostle Paul. And I like that. I like the definition of the word helper, one who's willing to assist or administer a remedy for someone else. Now in verse 1 and 2, the first thing he talks about is this woman named Phoebe. She was a sister and she was a servant, and she was in a church, Caesarea, which was about 15 miles from Corinth, which means that when Paul was in Corinth, he was also starting churches through his preacher boys, if I can use that term, in other places. And now he finds out that Phoebe is going to Rome to do business of some type. And he said, let me recommend her to you. You know what you call that? You call that changing your church letter, going from one church to another church. And then here's what we need to understand. When you go from one church to another church, make sure that you're known as a helper, not as a hinderer. So you go, so Phoebe, and I believe Phoebe's the one that took the book, the Roman letter to them. And he said, now listen, she's a sister. We commend her. She's a servant of the church in Caesarea. And here's what he said in verse 2. Receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. You know what Paul said? She has been a tremendous help to me. She has been a helper in my ministry, but she's also been a helper to others, to many others. And so I recommend her to you. I commend her unto you. And I want you to understand that word succor literally means to support, to help or to relieve in some kind of difficulty or distress. It means to assist and to deliver from suffering, as to a succor a besieged city or to prisoners. Listen, that is a word that I only find one other time in the book of Hebrews when it talks about what Jesus did for us. I believe this girl was a helper. I believe that she was, in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it says he is able to succor them that are tempted. In other words, God is able to help us. And I want you to know this girl, or I shouldn't say girl, this woman, Phoebe, she was an assistant, particularly assistant that relieved from difficulty or distress. That's the kind of church members we need. People that help the church. Caesarea was a city close to Corinth. Probably a church was started there when Paul was there 18 months in Corinth. And Paul said that Phoebe was coming to Rome and she was a helper and that she should be received. And so what Paul is doing is he is commending her to the church. Paul said this, here's the way I put it. She's someone that you can trust. Did everybody get this? Man, we live in a day where you're like, I want to trust people. I want to trust people. But then they do something and you're like, I don't know if I can trust that person. That is a sad state of affairs. That should not be the way it should be in the church. That should not be in the way in the ministry. But here he goes. You can trust her. Have no confidence in the flesh is the idea. You got to be careful. And Paul said that she would be someone you can trust. She will be someone who will help you. If you leave here, now listen to this. Let me say this. If you leave this city and you move to another location in the world, whether it's in some other state or whatever it might be, it should be said of you that you could be received on a commendation of somebody that can be trusted and be helped in the next ministry. I'm a little weary of preachers. Well, I'm already in here, man. I'm already dug deep in here now. I'm a little weary of preachers who will just take church members and don't call the pastor and find out maybe what the deal is in the first place. They deserve exactly what they're going to get in about 3 or 4 years. Paul said she would be someone you could trust. Then in verses 3 through 5, he mentions, oh, I love Priscilla and Aquila. The church is meeting in their house. And Paul said, hey, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And he goes on to talk about them, how that they laid their life down. They would have laid their life down. For my life, Paul said, laid down their own necks. You know, I think about Apollos. When Paul had left and Apollos comes and he's preaching, and by the way, Apollos was an orator. He was a great preacher. He was a strong, forceful preacher, but he had a couple things that wasn't exactly the way it should be. And Aquila and Priscilla was the one that came along and helped him understand some things. You know what that means? They were a helper. I believe you could say to Aquila and Priscilla, they didn't have a critical spirit. They were not critical of every little thing that goes on. And you know what Paul calls them? He calls them helpers. Now, I got to do this. Go to Acts chapter 18. Go to Acts chapter 18 because you got to see this. I want you to see in verses 1 through 3 what the Bible says, because now Paul, remember, he was in Athens. And he preached up there in Athens, and he preached to them about the unknown God. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. And because Paul was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. You know what happened? These people became a pillar in the church at Corinth. They became a pillar in the church at Ephesus. They became pillars in the church at Rome. Wow. And Paul called this couple, he called them helpers. You know, it was just an accident that when they got thrown out of Rome, they ended up in Corinth. Not. Now, if you worked with Paul making tents, what do you think happened? Paul would witness to them. They would be saved. And they would be baptized into the church at Corinth. When he left Corinth, this couple went with Paul, and while he did some other traveling, he left this couple in Ephesus where he would return to establish another church. And the church at Ephesus became a great church. It became a church that all the churches that we read about in the Revelation, the seven churches, remember what the first one was? Ephesus. And the rest of them came out of that church. Guess who laid the groundwork in the city? Guess who were the witnesses and the tellers of the gospel? And said, well, Paul's coming back. We're going to establish a church, but we'll have some Bible studies until he gets back. Who do you think that was? Aquila and Priscilla. You know what they were? They were helpers. I love helpers. I have in the past, in preaching, spent time telling and teaching and preaching on the impact that Paul had in Ephesus and those he trained. And I talk, if you read in the book of Acts, you'll see in one chapter where he's there and the whole city is about to erupt in Ephesus. And then in the next city, you see all those men that were with him and training in that city. Trophimus, Tychius, Titus, Philemon, Timothy, maybe you've heard some of those guys. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. While the training of men in the ministry was going on, there were others like Priscilla and Aquila who were not preachers, but rather tent makers who just continued to be a blessing to the church and to the pastor so that Paul could accomplish what God had called him to do. Let me tell you what kind of helpers this couple was. Look at Acts chapter 18. I should have told you to stay there. Now I lost my place. But go to Acts chapter number 18, and let me show you what kind of people they were. In verses number 18:24. And Paul, after this, tarried yet a good while, and then took leave of the brethren, and sailed from thence unto Syria, and with him, who was with him? Priscilla and Aquila. And he had shorn his head, shaved his head in Caesarea. There's the place that Phoebe's from. For he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he and Priscilla there, and he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen the church. But notice, he left them there. And then look at verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, in an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That's John the Baptist. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. May God give us Aquila and Priscilla. He also said that this couple was willing to lay down their life for Paul, the man of God, who was their spiritual father. This is the type of couples we need in the church. Those that will be called helpers. Now look at verse number 5 in Romans. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house, he said, of Aquila and Priscilla. Then he said this, salute my well-beloved. Who is the first fruits of Achaia in Christ? Epaphanus, I think is how you say it. I've listened to it, but I can't recall it. Look at that. Paul even mentions probably the first guy that got saved in the church at Corinth. Everybody see that? Or in Achaia, one of those, baptized. Oh, Sam Varghese, he's got the distinction of my ministry 34 years ago. Of being saved and me being the first man I ever baptized as pastor. And you know what the blessing of that is he's still a helper today. He's the treasure of that church and still is. And if you ever meet him, you'll never meet a finer man. You'll never meet a greater servant. You'll never meet a man more godly, prayer warrior, soul winner, led your daddy to the Lord. Shane Mallard led him to Christ, got saved. Over in the little trailer across the street from the church where Shane and Tammy lived. And I'm just telling you, you know what? And I mean, I could begin to mention people here, but I can't. I don't want to do that. I'll do that when I'm preaching out, and you'll have to watch it on live stream. Because I'd write down these names like Paul did. But I'm not at Knob. I hadn't been there for 23 years. But I'm thankful for guys like that who are still there. Paul said that. And I tell you, he was still is a blessing. So this Epaphanides was well beloved, one of the first to be saved in Achaia. You never forget those who get saved and help you in the ministry. In verse 6, he says, Mary bestowed much labor on us. In verse 7, he mentions men who spent time in prison with Paul. You look at this. In verse 8, he speaks of another who was well beloved. In verse 9, he says, Urbane was a helper, and another, Stasis, who had near to his heart and beloved. In verse 10, he says, Apelles is one that was approved in Christ. This means he was liked. He was commended. He showed. He was proved to be worthy, having a support of the brethren. In verse 12, he mentions those who labored in the Lord. And then he mentioned those who labored much in the Lord. Everybody getting this? He salutes others in verses 13 through 15 and says, greet them with a handshake. A holy kiss. We'll just do the handshake in our culture. Thank you very much. And that was a cultural greeting like handshaking is in the Western world, or hugging that is acceptable. Sometimes you have to do a side hug or a handshake. No kissing. In verse 21 through verse 23, he mentions Timothy, his son in the faith, Sotipher, and Gaius, who were some of the preachers who he had influence upon and who he trained in the ministry. But then he mentions those who are a hindrance in verse 17 and 18. You see, he talks about how that there was not only the blessings of the ministry, but there were the hindrances of the ministry. And he speaks about those who don't really, are they serving God? Paul not only dealt with those who helped him, but also dealt with those who hindered him and the churches that he helped start. And listen, my friend, wherever you go and you preach the gospel and people get saved and people get stirred up for God, there'll always be the devil that'll try to stir up people. There'll always be people who go. It never gets easy. It never gets easy. It always hurts. And Paul talked about the hindrances that came from those. In some cases, they were non-believers, and in some cases, they were believers, which is a hurtful thing. You know, if you could just look up the word hinder, it means to interrupt, to obstruct, to impede or prevent from moving forward by any means. And it is applicable, hindrance, to any subject, physically, moral, or intellectually. It means to try to stop a progression or a motion, to obstruct for a time, but let me just tell you, or to slow something down. You're not going to slow God down. Amen. This is the Lord's church. Amen. And you better be very careful about how you treat the Lord's church. Amen. It's His church. Amen. Be careful not to slow down the progression. Paul had great things to say to those who were helpers, but he also had something to say about those who hindered the ministry. He addresses those. He dealt with those people. And by the way, everywhere Paul preached, he dealt with hindrances. Here he states to mark them and to avoid them. When a Christian tries to advance wrong doctrine or wrong practices, which are contrary to the Scripture, Paul says, mark them and separate them. He doesn't say go to McDonald's and have a hamburger with them. The word offenses has to do with sinful acts or those which are being disobedient to God. Now let me tell you something. If you change the Bible or you change salvation or you change the doctrine of the church, I'm telling you that God's not in that. How can something be right for 25 or 30 years and all of a sudden you decide it's not right anymore? If it's right in the Word of God 30 years ago, it'll still be right today. Amen. It's not going to change. It's people that change. So Paul says, separate from them when they deviate doctrinally or they sin or disobedient. I'm not without revealing this, but a preacher friend of mine, I told you we went some prayer and fasting and we were praying for this certain situation of someone that needed to get right with God. And when they were in the middle of sin and when they were away from God, another person told them, I don't want you to be around my kids. I don't want you to be around my children because you're away from God. She said this, my children love you and now you're going in this direction. I don't want you to be around. And she got mad. She got vehemently mad. And just bowed up. And then she got right with God. And guess what? Now she's restored fellowship And she goes, you can be around my kids now. Does everybody get this?
Amen.
I want people to get right with God.
Amen.
I want people to come back where they need to be.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to fellowship with them and get close to them because they're not where they're supposed to be. Everybody better listen. You need to listen to this. You need to understand what Paul is saying here. These dissenters indicate they had been obedient at one time, and he said you need to avoid them. And by the way, these people were known across the churches. Be very careful about being an independent Baptist. We ain't that big. So you know what they do? They go to Southern Baptist churches or evangelical churches or churches that ain't anywhere close to where they should be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And sometimes people gloss over their error by good works and fair speeches. That's what he just said. Thus deceiving the naive. Paul indicates that really they're more interested in themselves than they are the work of the ministry. Do you know how the church at Rome had responded to these dissenters? Look at verse number 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
When God's people in the Lord's churches separate from error, compromise, and sinners, let me tell you what will happen. Satan will be defeated. But as long as you swim in their swimming pool, Satan has a heyday. If you go to 2 Thessalonians, which I'm not asking you to, chapter 3, verse 6, you can just reference it. The word tradition means delivered truth. We're here to deliver truth. Disorderly brethren are to be separated from. Disorderly is a military term that gives the sense of being out of rank as a soldier and one who is deviating from the prescribed order of or rule. When you're in the military, they teach you how to be an airman or a soldier or a sailor, whatever, or a marine, whatever it might be. And they teach you their way, and they want things done orderly. They want it done the way they say. Well, God wants it the way He says. Paul did not always name names, but people were known of who they were. You know what I'm saying? They weren't helpers. They were hinderers. Unfortunately, those who hindered take up a lot of time and effort to deal with. And I ain't got time for that. Would it not be pleasing to God that which is orderly, that which is right, to be a helper in the cause of Christ rather than a hindrance? You know what we need? We need some Phoebes, Aquila and Priscillas, Timothys, Tituses. Paul had a burden for the lost in the Gentile world, and he had a burden for his own people, the Jews. He had a desire to preach, to train men, to write letters that help us today to know how we should live with each other and in the world. He wanted people to be saved. Is that not what we want? I want people to be saved. You know what keeps people from being saved sometimes? People who hinder the church. He wanted people to know they were sinners, but he also wanted people to know they could be saved from their sins. However, he could not, and he did not, and he would not, and he would never do it alone. Delegation. Paul said, you go over here to Sincera. I want you guys to go over here and preach. Hey, I heard there's some people over here that are interested in the gospel, Timothy. I need you to go over here. And when Paul was pressed in his spirit, Paul didn't do it alone. Paul is the one that gets I've always said the title of a pastor, he gets way too much credit and he gets way too much criticism. A lot of times I get way too much credit because there's people who are helping. Everybody getting this? Behind the scenes. Paul couldn't do it alone. He was the one we know the most about, but when he closes out a chapter like chapter 16, We realize the churches were able to do what they did because the preacher had many people helping in the work of the ministry. I like the way he said it in verse 12. He said, some of these guys labored much in the Lord. Some of them just labored. Some of them were a blessing. Some of them were a greater blessing. How many people have you brought to church this year? Maybe you didn't hear me. How many people have you brought to Christ? How many people have you said, I want you to come to church? No, there's some people too busy hindering. Hanging out with people they shouldn't be hanging out with. Going down roads they shouldn't be going down. How many people have you influenced for the cause of Christ? How many of you have had a critical spirit about everything and anything? Are you a helper? Or are you a hinderer? Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Lord, thank you for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, we've preached and saw a lot of doctrine in the book of Romans. But man, Romans 16, that's pretty practical. He loved those people that had been saved and who helped him in the ministry, and especially people like Aquila and Priscilla and Phoebe, Timothy, all these other people he mentions. And while he didn't mention any names in verse 17 and 18, he mentioned what they did. He does tell Timothy about some of these people that had been a great hindrance. And we all know from the preaching through the book of Romans that there were people that were critical of the Apostle Paul's ministry, especially when he came to a Roman prison. They would think, well, how can you be right with God if you're in prison? But we know it was for the gospel's sake. Lord, I pray tonight, this afternoon, today, this morning, as we look at this Romans 16 and look at all these helpers, that we would determine that in our heart and soul that we're going to be a helper of Berean Baptist Church and a helper to the cause of Christ, not any kind of hindrance, that it would not be said or thought of that that's the way we are. May God speak to our hearts today, and that we would help bring people to Christ and salvation. And then, Lord, I realize there could be one here today or more that are not saved. It is our heart's desire that people, like Paul wanted, to see people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, like Aquila and Priscilla, but then not only get saved, but become a helper of the church. So I pray for those today that are the closest to hell and need salvation, and who need to repent and need to trust Christ as their Savior. And if there is one inch of hindrance in our soul today, that we would get rid of that and be a helper. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing page number 275, just as I am without one plea. If you need to come this morning, do business with God, you need to be saved, listen, how about saying, Lord, I need to be a helper. I need to be a helper. As we sing, brother.
Just as I am. Oh,
desire to be a helper today for the things of God, see the church go forward, invite people to church, witness, give people your testimony? Or is your testimony a critical spirit, a hindrance to the things of God? Today, it'd be a good day to be saved. As God would speak to your heart. Kendra Bound, and Kendra is coming this morning and asking to be reinstated back into the church. Amen. And she's been gone for quite some time and has not been a church member, but is moving things in the right direction, wants to follow the Lord, wants to be a helper, right? All those in favor of her reinstatement back into the church, let it known by the uplifting hand, give out with a hearty amen.
Amen.
God is so very good. I praise Him for His holy name. Brother Ben Forster, you dismiss us in prayer. And I've already mentioned all these, men's prayer at 5:20, cherub choir and junior choir at 5:30, youth choir 5:15, and adult choir 4:30. After we're dismissed, come and let Kendra know you'll be praying for her.